There we go. And it is time for the Midnight Movie Reviews. Every time you hear those themes, that's what we do after midnight. Try to help you out during the weekend here to plan your weekend and see what kind of movies you want to check out. We'll tell you what's available and all that good stuff. Colin Suter and Eric Childress from eFilmCritic.com join me every week to talk movies. And let's say hello to Colin. Hi, Colin.
Hello there.
And Eric. How are you, Eric?
Okay.
Good, 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 good. Man, it is freezing in this room. It's so cold in this studio. I'm shaking right now. How you guys doing? Good?
Okay.
Yeah, all right. We got a bunch of movies to talk about today. Now, have you seen any of the on-demand movies, either of you guys?
Couple of them.
Okay, well, let's start off with the ABCs of Death. We talked about this one, didn't we?
We did. This one premiered at Toronto last year, which I saw. And this is it's 26 short films,
right?
From A to Z. Each 26 different directors, each taking a letter that pertains in some manner to death.
Okay.
And the movie's it's 2 hours long. I think a little bit over 2 hours, and it's that's exactly what it is. It's just 26 short films, and everyone just sort of had to come up with their own take on a letter. It's like they were given a letter, and then they were given sort of a list of words, and they chose a word, and then they just revolved a short film story around it. And I think it's mostly successful.
Yeah.
Last week in movie 43, you got all these sketches and whatnot, and they all can't work. But here, I think, maybe like 14 work out of 26. It's just kind of a marginal, over 50%, which out of 26 isn't really too bad.
No, it's not too bad.
I think the first half, has the better selection than the back half. But, it's a hit. It's a hit and miss affair. But if you're a horror fan, I think you will find some pleasure.
I see Angela Bettis, the lovely Angela Bettis from May and the Woman.
She did.
Credited as a director on one of these.
Yeah, and one of hers is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Not great, not bad, just kind of okay. Could have been better.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Available on demand, the ABCs of Death. Boy, these anthology things are popping up all over the place.
Yeah. We have all the VHS ones. A lot of people, responsible for the VHS ones, they have segments in here as well.
Oh, okay.
Ty West has one, and I'm happy to say that he has absolutely the worst one because he stinks. Check it out if you're a horror fan.
I'm definitely going to check that one out, no question
about
it. The ABCs of Death. All right, how about As Luck Would Have It?
As Luck Would Have It, I have not seen. There's a couple like major directors in this group of on-demand films, and this one was directed by Alex De La Iglesia, who did a film a few years ago called Il Crimen Perfecto. Perfecto, I think it was The Perfect Crime, and he did a film a couple years ago called The Last Circus. This one's got Salma Hayek in it, looks like this one's more of a straight drama. The plot concerns an out-of-work publicist who suffers an accident, looks to sell the exclusive interview rights to the highest bidder in an attempt to provide for his family.
Okay.
So not quite as crazy as The Last Circus.
No, clearly. Like. All right, but Salma Hayek is in it, which is always, visually a good thing.
Sold.
Yep. Day of the Falcon.
Day of the Falcon is a film directed by Jean-Jacques Annaud.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So a screenplay by Menno Meyers. This one has it's Antonio Banderas and Mark Strong and Frida Pinto. And it's a 1930s story of Arabs and oil and family rivalries and stuff. And so there you go.
Wow. Was his last movie, what was it? What was his last movie? Was it Enemies at the Gate or?
No, I think he's done some of that. Didn't he have one of the IMAX thing, I think, was earlier.
Yeah. I'm looking him up. His last movie was
Two Brothers.
The Two Brothers?
That was the Leopard movie, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Leopards, and then Enemy at the Gate.
His Majesty's Minor?
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is either.
Yeah, Wings of Courage was the IMAX one. That was from 95. That was way back.
Yeah. I just, he's made some movies that I really love, this guy.
Yeah, I love Enemy at the Gate.
Yeah, me too. I think it's great.
I'm quite a fan of that.
I'm actually a huge fan of Quest for Fire.
Sure.
Yeah, and I like the bear a lot. I thought the bear was cool.
Yeah, bear's really good.
So, I don't know. Well, that's interesting. Okay, well, all right. And next would be, oh, my God. The Haunting in Connecticut 2, Ghosts of Georgia?
Like, tell me you don't immediately want to go home and rent that. Come on.
Wow.
I think the title pretty much says everything you need to know.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't even know there was going to be a sequel to this thing.
I didn't either. I didn't.
Yeah.
Did the first one make any money, I think? I mean.
Not really. Not really a whole lot.
Colin, you saw The Haunting in Connecticut, didn't you?
I don't think so.
I don't remember it. Single thing from it, but I know I saw it. And usually, I mean, in the horror genre, it doesn't matter if the movie made a lot of money at the box office. You know, they pretty much produce straight to DVD sequels anyway.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. That's true.
There's a market regardless.
Haunting in Connecticut 2, Ghosts of Georgia, if you're so inclined, is available on demand.
Yeah, it stars One Tree Hill's Chad Michael Murray.
Oh, good.
And Battlestar Galactica's Katie Sackhoff.
Wow.
So,
all right.
Yeah, I'm sold.
All right, there you go. What about Knife Fight?
Knife Fight is a political film, sort of a political strategy movie. It stars Rob Lowe and Carrie Ann Moss. It's a really good cast, actually. The two of them, Jennifer Morrison, Julie Bowen from Modern Family, Saffron Burroughs, Richard Schiff in the movie, Eric McCormick. So it's a really good cast. I've heard of this title before, but I didn't know... it was being released. Actually.
Well, you know, I saw this, you know, on my Xfinity or whatever the hell it's called, my Comcast. I saw this being pushed, you know, when you hit your menu button to see, you know, to check out what's on.
Yeah.
Change the channels and stuff. They have little highlights on the bottom of stuff that they're pushing.
Right, and little interviews and stuff like that.
Yeah, Knife Fight was one of them. They were, like really pushing it.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it's available now on demand, and it's called Knife Fight. It's a political film. By the way, have you guys seen the trailer? I just saw a trailer. It was like on IMDb for the new submarine movie.
Is it Ed Harris?
Ed Harris, David Duchovny, Lance Hendrickson.
Phantom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be the greatest movie ever made.
Well, it's got a submarine in it.
It's got a submarine in it. And, and Lance Hendrickson. I mean, what the hell? What are we talking about here?
I don't know.
I saw the trailer for it, and it looks exactly like every other submarine ever made. A submarine.
Is it like that Below?
No,
movie?
It's no. It's like they're on a secret. It's like it literally is. We don't know what the mission is. It's either we're gonna, you know, kill somebody or start World War III.
Yeah.
There's a mutiny. You know. And it's like I'm gonna take my ship back. Ed Harris has basically got like the Denzel role or the Gene Hackman role, whatever. And you know, I'm all over it.
Okay.
everything is lit in red and blue, right?
Everything, man. It's just I saw the trailer and I got all giddy. It says that it's going to open March 1st, but my guess is it's going to be one of these movies because it comes from a very small company.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, you know, Ed Harris has done a lot of straight to video stuff and that's all David Duchovny really does and you know, I got a feeling that this thing will probably end up like in one theater.
Yeah.
And then it'll be on DVD 3 days later. That's what it looks like to me, but I don't care.
600 Michigan.
It's what?
600 Michigan.
Yeah, that's right. It'll open
there.
That's
where it's going
to go. We talked about Sound City, didn't we, before?
No, we didn't. I didn't get to see this. It premiered at Sundance this year. It's a documentary that I'm very interested in, actually. It was directed by Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
And it's a film about the recording studio in the San Fernando Valley that, you know, was just home to a lot of just famous the bands and whatnot. I mean, Tom Petty and Neil Young and Rick Springfield. It was a huge recording studio, and the film takes sort of a look back at you know, all the people that are, you know, still around from that time. Those are always very music documentaries like that. They're always very interesting to me.
Yeah, no, this one looks great, Colin. I think you'd like this one too.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. This looks awesome.
Sound City, which is a documentary about a fabled recording studio. In California, and everybody on earth is in it. If you look at the like every musician who's ever sang or played an instrument is in this movie.
I heard decent things about it at Sundance. I didn't hear like phenomenal things, but I heard everyone was kind of like, yeah, this is good.
I remember it played Sundance. That's why I remember we were talking about it. Okay, how about What's Wrong?
Wrong is a film that I have seen, and it played Sundance last year, and it's the film by Quentin Dupieux. Who did a film, that film Rubber, about the killer tire.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this guy's weird. This guy's really weird. This is just some weirdo story about a guy who wakes up and his dog is gone, and it's sort of his quest to reclaim his dog, and he comes across all sorts of oddballs and whatnot, including one really great one played by William Fichtner.
who, by the way, is also in that submarine movie.
Of course he is. I'm sure he plays the devil in that one.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
this Quentin guy is, I mean, it's certainly an acquired taste, this guy. I still don't know quite what to make of this movie. I almost kind of like to see it again because when it hit really funny and because it's just so odd. You know, and it's the kind of thing that is just, it's kind of stream of consciousness weirdo stuff.
Yeah.
It takes a little while to sort of wrap your head around it. I didn't think it was completely successful,
mm-hmm.
But I know a lot of people that really liked it at Sundance.
So a weirdo movie called Wrong. It's available on demand now. It'll hit theaters in March.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, you guys, hang on. We got to get to now. Which ones of these have we seen? Have you guys seen 56 Up?
No,
I have not.
Okay,
no.
Neither have I. But for just quickly, for those people who are not aware of what this is, director Michael Apted started with a film called 7 Up, where he got a bunch of kids who were 7 years old at the time, interviewed them, and then decided that every 7 years he was going to make a documentary featuring these people every 7 years. He would follow them through their lives. And we've gotten to the point now where all the characters, the subjects are 56 now. And so this is the addition of them, you know, of the 7 Up series, but now they're 56. It's a really interesting concept, and most of these are really terrific movies. And I think the idea is great. I just didn't get a chance to see it. And so 56 Up, if you are a fan, you know, of 7 Up and 14 Up, 21 Up, and all the rest of them, that's what this is. It's the next installation of that series.
And it's worth saying that if you've never seen any of them, they are streaming on Netflix right now, all of them.
And they're really worth seeing. I mean, just a really terrific idea and some interesting characters. And it really is amazing to see, as the years go by, how their lives have changed. You know what I mean?
And
what has happened to them and how they look. And it was a fascinating idea for Apted way back when he made the first one. And I think it's paid off in spades. So
it's amazing it's gone this far.
It is unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. So it's a great concept, and he's still making them. And I'm sure that this one is worth seeing, even though I haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But as part of a really great documentary series. So that's what 56 Up is. It's available in theaters right now. I think it's playing at the Century, I think.
Music Box.
Oh, it's at Music Box. Okay,
right.
It's at Music Box.
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, you guys, hang on a second. We got movies to talk about here, and we will do that coming up with Eric and Colin and you, 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio here. It's the Midnight Movie Reviews. Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Tribune Tower. And those themes mean that it is the Midnight Movie Reviews. We got a little bit of a late start tonight. We started at 12:30, so we're going to carry the Midnight Movie Reviews over, as we often do, because there's so much to talk about, and we always love to talk with Colin and Eric about the new movies. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200, and we welcome Colin and Eric back to the show. Hey, guys.
Hello.
All right. Colin, why don't you tell us about Warm Bodies?
All right, so this is a romantic comedy with zombies, and if you think that's just describes Shaun of the Dead, well, you'd probably be surprised that this is actually very different from that. The main character here is, in fact, a zombie. He walks, talks, and acts like a zombie, even though he narrates the movie as a real person, and he's played by Nicholas Hoult, who has grown into be a very fine young actor. But he's best known, I think, as the boy from About a Boy 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. But anyway, so he's a zombie. His best friend is also a zombie, played by Rob Corddry. And, you know, they struggle to have conversations together. They pretty much just grunt at each other. And he can sort of sense that he's a zombie. He can feel himself as a zombie, but can't quite make out those thoughts and words, you know, to work for him. And he spends his day wandering around an airport with many other zombies. And one day he has a run-in with a group of, I guess they're mercenaries of some kind, who they, you know, shoot up the place. You know, they got guns and they're, you know, collecting stuff. And one of them is a girl named Julie, played by Teresa Palmer. And with that encounter, his heart starts beating again, and he starts to become, you know, a little more warm-blooded, and, you know, he starts to gain a little bit more consciousness. And he ends up not eating her, but rescuing her from other zombies. And they hide out in an airplane for a few days, and he makes as much effort as he can to try and look and act like and sound like a real person. And this begins a very unlikely and interesting relationship between these two. So can a romantic movie about a zombie and a real person work? Yes and no, but mostly in this case, yes. I found it, it's a little hard to connect with at first. It's a bit of a leap, you know, and a bit of a challenge to connect with and warm up to a main character who is, you know, lifeless, speechless, and drooling. And yes, there's narration, but there's still, you know, a bit of a disconnect there. The director is Jonathan Levine, who made the wonderful 50-50 a couple years ago. And he's clearly, like, in love with this material and tries very hard for some big emotional and, you know, cathartic moments and almost achieves them. I think it's a bumpy ride at first, but by the end of the movie, I was won over. And actually wouldn't mind seeing it again. And you know, if you're expecting this zombie movie to, you know, sort of play out, you know, play by all the other rules of other zombie movies, it really doesn't. This movie's about something, and in order for it to be about that, it has to sort of break free of zombie movie conventions, and right. I found that refreshing.
Yeah. Okay, hang on, Colin, hang on.
Yeah.
We got to hit the news, and then we'll find out what Eric thought of it, and we'll get the rest of Colin's review and mine as well, but the news is next on WGN. Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Tribune Tower. We're here till 3 o'clock tonight. Got a late start after the Hawks game. Didn't get on until 12:30, so we're moving everything a little bit back. We're going to stay on an extra hour, so we will be here live until 3 a.m. The phone number is 312-981-7200. You can send your text to 24720. Follow us on Twitter and check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/NickDShow. Colin Suter, Eric Childress from eFilmCritic.com joined me to talk movies, and we were in the middle of Colin's review of Warm Bodies, which is a romantic comedy featuring a zombie who falls in love with a girl who is still alive. And Colin, you were in the middle of giving your review, and you said you actually warmed up to it and liked it.
Yeah, I liked the second half more than the first half, and you know, I think it's a nice. There are enough twists on the zombie movie convention to make it really interesting and enjoyable. And also, I should say it's also an interesting take on another literary classic, which I won't give it away. But I think you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
All right, Eric, what did you think?
Okay. I actually fell for this movie right away. I actually kind of really love this movie. I think you know, you don't hear a lot of zombie movies described as incredibly sweet, but this one certainly is. And, you know, obviously we've railed enough on the Twilight series for, you know, doing really stupid things with the vampire genre, and here what should be even dumber conventions with the twist on the zombie genre actually turn out to be something really, really terrific. I think mainly the two leads, especially Nicholas Holt, is really terrific in the movie. The movie certainly has enough humor to sort of guide you through this sort of ridiculous premise. I bought completely into the idea of this romance and the idea that zombies could be brought back to life just by simply caring about life again. I thought it was a really nice nice take. And by the end, I mean, I actually cared what was happening in the climax. I was actually, you know, rooting for these characters and nervous that, you know, that the the survivors were going to, you know, catch up with them, and, you know, this wasn't going to all end happily. I was worried, actually worried there for a while. So, yeah, I this is a really pleasant surprise this year, and I think a second really terrific turn from Levine after 50-50. I really like this movie.
I'm with you, Eric. I thought it was terrific. And, I mean, you know how I feel about zombie movies. I take them very seriously. But this was and, you know, it's completely different. When someone says, you know, romantic comedy with zombies, I mean, obviously – You think of Shaun of the Dead immediately.
Sure.
And this is a completely different kind of movie, as you said, Colin, than Shaun of the Dead. And the twists that it takes, I think it's unique and original, and it really is sweet, and it earns its emotion, I think, which is shocking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like this: you tell the premise of this movie to somebody, and then you say, well, yeah, and then but you know, by the end, I was really moved, and I rooted for this couple. You're like, what? Are you out of your mind? But yeah, Jonathan Levine is the deal, I think. And I really like this movie. It's there are a little bit of similarities between this and 50-50. I think just in terms of the bare bones of the relationship between the two people. But I don't know. I thought this was really good. Nobody's mentioned Malkovich, by the way. Who's tremendous in this thing, and always fun to watch when he's doing Malkovich, you know, the Malkovich that we love, or at least the Malkovich that I love. He's
action movie Malkovich.
Yeah, he's total Malkovich in this, and great to watch. He's on stage, by the way, this weekend playing a serial killer in a show, which should be fun. And I think it's at the Symphony. I think it's at the CSO. If I'm not mistaken,
just this week or yeah, just extended run?
I think it's tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. I think it's just this weekend. And he plays like a famous Russian serial killer who killed hookers. He was a killer of hookers. So I can't think of another actor who would be more appropriate for that role. But no, Warm Bodies is sweet. It's funny. It's really I really liked it a lot. I was invested in it. I cared, and I didn't expect that at all. So
and I actually really like Rob Corddry. In the movie too, I think it's the best thing he's probably
ever
done.
Yeah, probably ever done.
Yeah,
So it's a genuine surprise. I mean, it really was like a big. I didn't expect much from this, but I got a lot out of it more than I thought I would. So.
And the Malkovich connection, the thing that I thought of during the movie is that if you remember, 20 years ago in '93, he played a member of the Andes rugby team in Alive.
Oh,
people, and now he's hunting them down.
There you go.
Hypocrite.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. Warm Bodies. Colin liked it. Eric and I both liked it a lot. Colin, very quickly, tell us about the Oscar-nominated short films that are available now that everybody can see. They have the live-action short films and the animated short films. They're all nominated for Academy Awards. That's at the Landmark. And then the short documentaries are at the Music Box. Colin, quickly tell us about these.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen the documentaries,
but I
will eventually. And the thing about the documentaries this year is that all the documentaries are at least 30 or 40 minutes long, so they had to break it up into two separate programs.
Oh, okay.
So you're gonna pay double to see all of them if you want. The live action shorts, as usual, it's a mixed bag, and I gotta say, it's a pretty bleak group of movies. The least bleak movie opens with a guy slitting his wrists.
That's nice.
Yeah, but that's the one that actually like ends on a high note and is actually really entertaining. It just starts out bleak, and that one's called Curfew. It's the only American movie that's nominated. Everything else is from another country. But the one I like the most, I think, is one called Death of a Shadow, which is kind of a science fiction-y thing about a guy who collects shadows and this, you know, soldier in World War I who, you know, gets to go back in time and see a girl that he fell in love with before he died. But it has kind of a 12 Monkeys kind of look and feel to it, and it's pretty unique. So that's the one I'm rooting for. You know, but the whole thing as a whole, it's just kind of you know, nothing great, nothing terrible, just kind of okay.
All right.
But the animation block is pretty spectacular, I think. with Paper Man, which we've been talking about. That was the movie that opened Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
And you can actually watch Paper Man on YouTube. Disney put the whole thing up on YouTube.
Oh, really?
So if you want to see one of last year's best movies, go on YouTube, look up Paper Man, and enjoy it. It's 6 minutes. It's phenomenal.
It is absolutely six of the most joyous minutes that I had in a movie theater last year. There's no question about it. It is so amazing. So, yeah, if you can see it on YouTube, Paper Man, check it out. It's really beautiful.
Yeah, and the Maggie Simpson cartoon, The Longest Daycare, is really hilarious. You know, that's like prime Simpsons. All the good Simpsons writers came back for that one. Head Over Heels and Adam and Dog are really interesting, unique movies that are worth seeing. The only odd one out on the animation one is this one called Fresh Guacamole. And the only thing that's really wrong with it, I mean, visually it's pretty cool, but it's only a minute and a half long. And it just doesn't feel right that it should be nominated. You know? Something with a little more depth, a little more meat on it. I'm sure they could have found something better than that.
Yeah.
Neat, but, you know, come on.
Okay.
And also they added three other animated films to the animation block, which I haven't seen, but they have to pad it out because all those nominations put together equal like 50 minutes, you know. So they put three other movies in there. So maybe those are good. I don't know.
Okay, there you go. And those are at the Landmark. The animation short films and the live-action short films are all at the Landmark Century. And it's, you know, I know a lot of people, the Oscars are coming up. I know a lot of people try to be completists, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to see every nominated movie that there is in order to, you know, fill out my office ballot. So.
And I believe all of these programs are hosted by past Academy Award winners. They're in town to host these screenings. So that's pretty cool, too.
Oh, wow. All right. Awesome. Okay, well, there you go. And you can get the information at the Landmark website and also Music Box website where they're showing the documentary short films as well. Okay, you guys, hang on. We got some more movies to talk about, and we'll get to those coming up in a second here on WGN. Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Tribune Tower. And midnight movie reviews are going a little bit late tonight because we got started late. We didn't get on the air till 12:30, which means we are actually going to hang out here until 3 o'clock tonight. And after the 2 o'clock news, we have a special guest, a guy named Mark Dredge, who has written a book called Craft Beer World. And he's come up with this thing called the Beer Flavor Wheel. We'll talk beer with him, and that's coming up after 2 o'clock. But right now, Colin and Eric are still with us, and we're doing the midnight movie reviews. And let's continue. Eric.
Yes.
Tell us about Stand Up Guys.
Stand Up Guys stars Al Pacino and Christopher Walken as former partners in the local mob. Al Pacino's character Val has been in prison for very close to 30 years for a murder that occurred during a shootout. He took the rap for it, went to jail, didn't rat on anybody, and he comes out. Picked up by his pal, played by Christopher Walken, doesn't realize that his pal has actually been contracted to kill him by the very same mob boss who blames Pacino's character for the death of his son. So the movie kind of takes sort of a last day of his potential life approach to the material. He does basically discover what is going on and decides to sort of live out the old days for one final night before the morning the sun comes up and he has to go through with his plan. So this involves trips to the brothel and saving or getting revenge on some local thugs who have beaten up a girl and put her in a trunk. And then deciding, you know, how exactly that morning is going to play out. They also bring along with them for a little joyride. Another partner there is played by Alan Arkin. And ultimately, this is a pretty, pretty dreadful film. The first half hour is nearly unwatchable. These guys struggle with a lot of erection jokes. Multiple erection jokes, in fact, and just look as tired as their character's supposed to be, not in the way that Pacino played him in Insomnia, but just kind of just almost struggling to get through the story and their dialogue. The film is, a little bit livened up with Arkin's appearance, but it turns into a very, very brief appearance. Arkin is maybe in this movie 20 minutes would be generous, and that's a shame because he's got a couple moments that just because he's Arkin is able to sell. And even though the movie livens up a little bit, a very little bit, in that the second half, it's still just a really kind of pathetic version of sort of In Bruges crossed with little wise guys and a little Red, and not as good as any of those titles, and Red is pretty terrible. So, yeah, I think this is a pretty awful movie.
All right, Colin.
I think it's marginally better than Red, but not by much. It's pretty dreadful watching, Pacino, and Walken and them trying to like say a lot of dialogue that's just basically cliches. I'm chewing bubble gum. I'm here to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of bubble gum. It's like, come on. That was great 25 years ago, but we've heard it 1,000 times now.
Yeah.
But those are the kind of lines that they're given, and the whole movie just kind of sits there. There's never really any momentum going for it because the movie just feels like they kind of just made it up as they went along, but nobody was making up anything interesting. And so you pretty much know where it's going the entire time, and it's kind of a sad thing to watch. Really, it's not very entertaining in the least. So yeah, definitely do not recommend this movie.
Yeah, I think it sucks. this is really really bad. And I'm telling you, what you said, Eric, about the whole fistful of Viagra stuff. I mean, my God, man. And how long does that go on?
You think it's over, and then they double down on the joke.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And Pacino just looks like actually everybody in this movie looks like they'd rather be someplace else.
Yeah.
But especially Pacino. Pacino is just like, he couldn't even drum up any energy at all. And it's not even at least sometimes Pacino, like in Heat, he sucked. He was terrible in that. But at least it was entertaining, over-the-top, ridiculous Pacino. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I
don't agree that he sucked.
Well, I think that's a whole nother. But you know what I'm talking about, the screaming, the whispering, and then the screaming Pacino, because he's either whispering or he's screaming.
Right.
And he didn't even do that in this.
I think he's better in Jack and Jill than he is in this movie. I say that without a trace of irony.
What? You might be right. He's terrible in this. And, Walking, just nobody. It just is like, what the hell are what are we doing this for? And here's the director is Fisher Stevens, who is an actor
of Short Circuit fame.
Yeah, and this is the thing that I always remember about Fisher Stevens. One, I loved him in Reversal of Fortune. He's awesome in that movie. It's a small role. But so creepy and slimy in that movie. I love him. One of my favorite bit roles of all time is Fisher Stevens in Reversal of Fortune. The one thing that that his claim to fame, besides acting with Number 5 and Steve Guttenberg, was that he dated Michelle Pfeiffer. And there was a time when I remember being floored by that. Like, what the hell? What is he doing with Michelle? What is she doing with this guy?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's his claim to fame, as far as I'm concerned. It's certainly.
Well, he's also an Oscar winner.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
The Cove.
That's right. Yeah, that's absolutely right. The documentary. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so Fisher Stevens is the director here and has just does nothing with the material because there really isn't any material.
Nope.
And here's the unfortunate thing: you would never know it by seeing this movie, but the guy who wrote it is a great writer. He's a playwright named Noah Hadel. Okay, you would never know that this guy is gifted as a writer if you just saw this movie. But
what's he done?
He's done a bunch of plays, but the one that's coming up now at our friend the Gift Theater up in Jefferson Park, Michael Patrick Thornton's company, they're doing a play called Vigils, which is a really terrific play, and he's good hand. He's more actually more of a drama writer than a comedy writer, which I think is evident in this movie. But I clearly this was just, I don't know what the hell's, I mean, this was a paycheck, and I hope that this funds the next production of one of his good plays. that's, you know what I mean? But I don't see this thing making a dime.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
I mean, I guess there's the kitsch factor. You know, it's like, oh, look, so let's see Pacino and Arkin and Walken together. Mm. And I'm glad, Eric, I'm glad that you pointed out, because all the ads feature, like, it's a trio. Like, it's the,
right.
all three of the guys, the whole movie, and that's just not the case.
Nope.
I mean, this is Pacino and Walken are the main dudes in the movie.
Yeah.
For the most part, for, you know, predominantly the entire running time. So, you know, just for people who are like, oh, I can't wait to see Alan Arkin, see Argo.
Right.
that's all I can say. Is
you might have more screen time in Argo, and it's not
yeah,
a lot.
I think you're right. Well, it's certainly more memorable screen time.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's, obviously, we all know how great he is in Argo.
Right.
And I mean, you know, he's got the Oscar nomination as well. So anyway, Stand Up Guys, really a truly terrible film now. And I remember, you know, when I heard that, you know, these movies were coming out this week, like, who the hell would have thought that I would have given, like, a close to a rave review to the PG-13 zombie movie, you know, and hated the R-rated Pacino Walken movie.
Right.
You know, I mean, just not good. Okay, hang on. We have a Walter Hill movie to talk about, and I haven't used that sentence since 2002. So, so hang on a second. Bullet to the Head, the new Sylvester Stallone film. I like to call it the new Walter Hill film. Is out, and we're going to review that. We've got Drunks in the News, Straight Out of Context, coming up as well. Our drunk reader is JD from South Bend, Indiana. And we also are going to be talking beer with a beer expert after 2 o'clock. We've got some other stuff to talk about, too. We're here till 3 tonight, so everybody hang out. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. It's Nick DiGilio on WGN. News is next. Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. We got a late night start tonight because of the Hawks game, but we've got our regular features are coming up, Drunks in the News and Straight Out of Context, and we'll tell you how you can be a part of both of those. And also we've got more coming up, but we want to finish our midnight movie reviews. We got off to a late start. By the way, tomorrow we have a regular start time of 6 o'clock, but our show is shortened because there's a 9 o'clock puck drop for the Hawks. So we'll be on till Hawks pregame. And Ken Phipps is going to join us. Nell Minow, the movie mom, will be with us. Carissa M., who is the creator of a food website called Food Beast. And we're working on the details, but Joe Piscopo from Saturday Night Live is probably going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour, because he's going to be a part of the Chicago Film Critic Association Awards. And Eric, did you want to talk about that?
Saturday, we're having our annual award show at the Movie Co.
Yes.
Theater. Fans of the Nick D Movie Club should be very familiar with the Movie Co.
Yeah.
by now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're having the award show there, and our guest of honor is Jane Lynch. She'll be getting our comedy award this year.
Awesome.
Nadine Velazquez from My Name is Earl, and she opened The Wonderful Flight in more ways than one.
Yeah.
She's going to be there presenting. We're giving some very special prize to a short film winner at Columbia College. That's actually an event that's taking place on Friday. People can show up for and see a number of really great shorts, local filmmakers. And there's going to be, we're hoping to have some surprise guests Saturday night.
Okay.
Joe Piscopo, not a surprise, but he will be there.
Okay.
Come see the thing, because I've put together some wonderful clips, and Colin has helped put together the tribute to Jane Lynch.
That's awesome.
That's
really great.
We're a big part of it. So, yeah, if you go to the Movie Co. website, you can buy tickets. There's a pre-dinner at the Great Bogarts.
Mm-hmm.
That you can actually dine with a lot of the celebrity guests. That's only $35. Entry to the show, tickets, only $50. And for the show and the after party afterwards, it's only $99.
Wow.
So it's actually it's a pretty good deal. You get food, you get drink, you get a really terrific show. So please come and join us next week and support the Chicago Film Critics Association.
And that'll be Saturday night, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, Saturday night, that would be the 9th?
Yes, the 9th. It was 7:30.
7:30. Saturday 7:30. Night, 9th, 7:30. You can go to movieco.com. And also, I would hope you guys could come on Tuesday night, because that's when we're going to be doing my monthly movie series. And we're showing Adventureland, which is a film that Colin and I both really like.
Yes.
I'm going to try to be there.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm going to make it, but I'm going to try.
Okay. All right. I just really, I'm a huge fan of this movie, and I think it deserves a second chance. Jesse Eisenberg was a pre-Social Network, and Kristen Stewart was this pre, no, it wasn't pre. She'd already made one of the Twilight movies at that point, right?
Yeah.
2009.
Yeah, I mean,
2009.
Well, I don't know if she did or not.
Adventureland was 2009.
No, she did.
Adventureland
she
did, was okay. 2009, yeah. Yeah. So Adventureland, really wonderful coming-of-age movie that takes place in the 80s. One of the reasons I love it, one, the soundtrack is amazing. Two, I was the age of those characters when this year, in the year that the movie takes place. I was Jesse Eisenberg's age. So there was just like this perfect storm. Three, and it came out of nowhere. I didn't expect it to be anything but like a crotch joke comedy fest. Not that that's what Superbad is, but they advertised it as super, you know, from the director of Superbad. So I expected it to be a lot raunchier and, you know, just a lot more jokey. And in fact, it's not that at all. This is, you know, a very sweet coming of age movie, a really great one that I picked for Valentine's Day because I also think it's a very romantic film. So that'll be that's February 5th. That'll be Tuesday night. It's only $10 to get in. Parking is free. Again, at the Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont. You can reserve your seats now. The Nick D. Film Club. We all come out every Tuesday night. It's so much fun. We have dinner. We hang out. It's a really, really good time. And we get a lot of people who come every month. And they don't even care what the movies are because we have such a good time. Even if they don't like the movie that much, they still have a great night out. And it's a very cheap night. Like I said, parking is free. It's only $10 to get in to see the movie.
And we really do want to support the Movie Co. because they've been very good for the Chicago Film Critics Association. And things have gone terrific with your film club, and things continue to go well with the award show.
Yeah.
We're going to have a very special announcement about April.
Yeah.
Hopefully in a few weeks.
Yeah. And Eric, I want to talk to you about that. Are you coming Tuesday?
I might be there Tuesday.
Okay. Well, I want to talk to you about that thing in April.
Okay.
All right. I have some suggestions.
All right.
All right. Well, Eric. All right, Colin.
Yeah.
Tell us about Bullet to the Head.
All right. Well, Sylvester Stallone stars as a criminal named nicknamed Jimmy Bobo. And at the start of the film, he and his partner are, you know, gunning down a couple of important-looking thugs. But they spare the life of the hooker. And they stop in a bar afterwards where Stallone's partner is killed by another thug who's, you know, just as big and brawny as Stallone is and just as intimidating, maybe even more so. And Jimmy is convinced that, you know, they were set up, so he vows to find the guy who killed him, as well as the crime boss who's orchestrating the whole thing. But he's paired up with a new cop from D.C., played by Soon Kang of the Fast and the Furious movies. And the movie takes on the form of a buddy picture with these two as they just kind of go around New Orleans. That's where it takes place. You know, trying to find everybody and killing everybody in their path who, you know, might pull a gun on them. Stallone also has a daughter who is a tattoo artist, as well as an amateur surgeon who can remove bullet wounds if necessary. Kristen Slater is in this
movie. You should actually say when necessary.
Yeah, yeah. Christian Slater's in this movie as you know, the right hand man of the main bad guy. More of a patsy though. So this is the return of Walter Hill, and we've been talking about this for a while now. People don't know who Walter Hill is. He's, you know, was a big action director who, you know, had a pretty great run in the 70s and 80s. Especially with, you know, with The Driver and The Warriors and 48 Hours and Streets of Fire, Extreme Prejudice, Johnny Handsome.
The list, the list goes on, man.
It's a great list of movies there. I mean, that's just the 70s and the 80s, you know.
Yeah. Southern Comfort.
Southern Comfort, for God's sake.
I said Southern Comfort.
Did you?
I said that.
Oh, okay.
It's worth saying again.
Before you cut me off, I said Southern Comfort.
Okay.
But he hasn't made a movie in 10 years, Undisputed, with Leslie Smyth was his last movie.
And by the way, a terrific movie featuring one of the greatest monologues ever delivered by Peter Falk, where he like drops 27,000 F-bombs within about 4 minutes.
So. Right.
So that's the kind of guy he is, you know. He is one of our colleagues called him, you know, a man's director. Loves violent movies, revels in them, loves tough guy dialogue, sort of take no prisoners kind of attitude, and that's what this is. Stallone is, playing a character who really doesn't care what anybody thinks of him. He doesn't care if he's offended you. He doesn't care, what you are. You're in his way. You're going down. That sounds like a typical action movie kind of character, but the way Stallone plays him and the way that some of the lines that he's given, we haven't seen a character like this in a while. And I could tell that Walter Hill was having fun with this. This was not his, the Lord, or the hole, some people say Joe Dante sort of phoned in the hole, or, you know, this is not like a late career, paycheck kind of thing for him. I could tell, like, he was back in the saddle and having a good time, and therefore I had a good time. It's a stupid storyline. I'll grant everybody that. But you know what? It's good to have this director back, and I enjoyed myself.
Okay. Eric.
It's an interesting night. We got Malkovich killing hookers and Stallone saving them. it's a Walter Hill movie.
Yeah.
You know, and that's for some, that's really all you kind of need. And watching this movie, I mean, about the first hour, I was having a pretty good time. I mean, it's just the violence is over the top, and it's nice to see, people getting the fights and just, not, worry about where their heads are going to be knocked around, for a change. As the story is ridiculous, it's beyond that. I mean, I don't think either of us could recite exactly what's going on with the bad guys in this movie. I mean, Christian Slater might as well just be called Johnny Exposition, because that's, you got like two scenes in the movie, and all he does is tell you what the bad guys are doing, and you still really don't care. You're just like, oh,
they're building condos.
Yeah,
there's someone with condos, and you got him and another bad guy who's on Canes, so he's just left to Jason Momoa, the new Conan and from Game of Thrones, to sort of be the heavy and get to reenact the end of Cobra by the end of the movie, which is I'm fine with.
Yeah.
There's something to be said about Walter Hill that, his movies definitely have personality, and that's something that's severely lacking in a lot of the sort of modern sort of, heir apparents to the Walter Hill films. Take one look at the Jason Statham, au revoir, and you see the big difference between Walter Hill movie and what he turns out. I wish there was a little more to it. By the last half hour, I think it just kind of spins its wheels a little bit. It doesn't really have that far to go, and sort of with his villains and whatnot. It does, and the final sort of axe fight, which is kind of teased in the trailers, I think it's kind of representative of what the movie is. It's like it starts off big, it has a pretty good middle, and then it just kind of peters out at the very end, right when it should really just completely explode in your face. I'm kind of mixed on it, but I wouldn't tell people not to see it, especially if they're a Walter Hill fan.
Yeah, I happen to be kind of a Walter Hill fan.
I think so.
Yeah, I like his movies. I love this. I had a blast. I mean, it's stupid as hell. I get it. I think Christian Slater's hilarious in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't say he's not funny.
No, I mean, I understand that he was written just to be Johnny Exposition, but it's the funniest thing he's done. I think it's like the liveliest performance he's given in years. There are a couple really funny scenes with Slater. Stallone does the Stallone thing. The stuff between him and the dude from the Fast and the Furious movies is like a pale Xerox of a Xerox of a pale copy of a Xerox of 48 Hours.
Yeah.
Which is what I think they were intending to do.
Complete with casual racism.
Of course, yes. I would expect nothing less. Some of the action sequences, I think Hill has relied a little bit too much on the quick editing. He used to not do that. I guess that kind of goes part and parcel with the kind of movies that are being made now, so we kind of altered his style a little bit there. But the man knows violence. The man knows action sequences. It's a dumb movie, but it's I had a blast. And you're right, Colin. This is Walter Hill making a movie. It's not Walter Hill taking a paycheck. Like,
yeah, and last week we were talking about, and Parker, like Jason Statham, you never feel like he's in any danger or anything.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, the last scene with that battle scene between Stallone and the big guy, I forgot his name,
Jason Momoa.
I mean that's a pretty even match.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean that's a really well cast and well put together scene.
Yeah.
And I think reminiscent of Streets of Fire.
Yeah.
So the
battle in the middle of the street, Streets of Fire, absolutely.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, it echoes a lot of some of his older films, especially Hard Times, which. There was a fist fight scene in Hard Times that takes place in the same place, like the same barren warehouse in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, so I was just like, I was giddy, you know, like as a Walter Hill fan, I was like, yay. Now, I hope that this, you know, kicks off Walter Hill, it's like the second part of his career with better scripts. You know what I mean? I hope he will write some scripts because he's a good screenwriter. And, you know, he's basically for all these years, he's done a couple of TV things. And he's, you know, like he got money for Prometheus for putting his name, cause he's on the Alien series. The guy still gets paid for the Alien series. But I hope that this movie really, you know, ignites him, you know, and gets him back on the track where he's making the more personal films like, you know, Extreme Prejudice and stuff like that. But like he's made some of the best action films of all time. And it's just great to see him back. It's a dumb movie, but it's beautifully made. It's a beautifully made big action movie, and I was happy as hell when I was watching it. So I don't know.
Well, he's got something on IMDb called Saint Vincent. It says it's in production. There's no information on it whatsoever, but under his directorial resume,
okay.
He's got something called Saint Vincent in the works right now. So
well,
who knows?
Let's hope it comes through. And yeah. I don't know how well this thing's going to do at the box office. I'm sure it's if The Last Stand is any indication of what people think of 80s icons making action movies, then this movie probably doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell of surviving. But it's a much better movie than Last Stand. So there you go. All right, let's see. What do we got next week?
The CCA Awards show.
Yes.
Next week. So
Saturday the 9th, go to the Movie Code Theater, check out MovieCode.com and get your tickets. Movie-wise, what do we have?
Movie-wise, we have Identity Thief, Jason Bateman and Melissa McCarthy. John Dies at the End will be opening at the Music Box.
Yes.
With Mr. Coscarelli.
Don Coscarelli in attendance, yep.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's up against the CFCA Awards, so, you know. But, and also Steven Soderbergh's new film, Side Effects.
Yeah.
Opens.
You know, it's amazing how much that guy worked for somebody who's retired.
I know.
Like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, he needs to take a break from his retirement.
Yeah.
Well, he's sort of retired. Instead of making two movies a year, he's going to make one.
Oh, okay. All right.
Maybe that's what he's
slowing down.
You know?
I'd say, I wonder if he's like, that second movie, the movie I'm going to make next year, I'm going to do another movie as long as Che. That's my plan because I'm not working now. I got to relax. All right. Eric, Colin, thank you guys. And again, Saturday, February 9th, 7:30, Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont, the big Chicago Film Critics Awards with lots of guests, lots of surprises and celebrities. And we'll talk more about it tomorrow night when we actually interview Joe Piscopo, who will be there as well. Guys, always a pleasure. Have a great week.
Thanks, guys.
All right. See you later. There's Eric and Colin, who are always with us on the Friday night movie reviews.